Welcome to Beaver Lodge Alliance's sermon podcast. We're so glad to join you. This is the latest sermon. We pray that you would receive encouragement, exhortation, and that Jesus would speak to you through this sermon. Enjoy.
Well, today, like I said, we have the privilege of witnessing three people getting baptized, which is so exciting. And I thought, oh, you know what? Let me back up. My name's Amy, for those of you who don't know. I am one of the pastors here. And for those of you who have been coming here, some of you might be wondering, wait a minute, where's Andy, who is our transitional lead pastor? If you remember, on his first Sunday, he said, you know, 3 out of the 4 weeks he will be here. And every third Sunday in the week before, he's not going to be here. Just as a part of his process of just making us not too comfortable with him here, that we're like, perfect. Andy can just do all the things. So this is his third, this is the third week, so he is away, but he'll be back next week. And so now we can jump back in to talking about baptism. And I thought I would just take a little bit of time to just kind of do some teaching on baptisms. Because sometimes I think, you know, there's some certain things that we just, for those who have grown up in the faith or have spent some time here at the church, it's like, oh yeah, baptisms. But if we think a little deeper, we might be like, I'm not quite sure about why we do it, what's the point, and all that stuff. And so, my apologies to the visitors, we are going to be doing some interactive components. So the first one is, we're not going to take a lot of time, just kind of turn to the person beside you or a few people and just share your experience with baptism. You might say, I have no hot clue about any of it. That's okay. You might say, I think I was maybe baptized as a child, potentially. Maybe you've had a couple of baptisms just in your journey. Or maybe you've not yet been baptized. Just share your story. We're not taking a lot of time. And for those of us who are listening, what we are saying is, thank you for sharing your story. This is not the time to go into theology. This is not the time to try and convince people of anything. What we are simply doing is just hearing a titch of the people's stories around us. And so it's up here just to give some possibilities. So we're going to take like 4 minutes to do this. Okay, so turn to the people around you and in a few sentences, share. Okay, 1 more minute. Okay. Okay, I will draw your attention back up here. My guess is that there was a wide variety of experiences and knowledge around baptism. Here, we believe that baptism is for everyone who has made a personal decision to follow Jesus as Lord and Savior. You are ready to be baptized if you have received forgiveness from Jesus, believe that Jesus died for you and he rose again, and that you've made him Lord of your life. And some of us might be thinking, okay, Lord, what does that even mean? Lord is that we choose to live in a way that he wants us to, that he invites us into, rather than the way we want to do things. It's surrendering to his excellent and beautiful way of the kingdom. And baptism is an act of obedience to his authority in life. It's a physical public symbol of the new life we receive when we declare that Jesus is Lord. And there's this thing as going down into the water and being raised out signifies our willingness to die to our old ways of living and experience new life in Jesus. It's not some magical rite. It's not some way of achieving membership in a church. It's not even something that the church has made up. This is a practice established by Jesus. And we'll look at that a little more later. It is a step of obedience and a demonstration of the commitment to follow him and walk in his way. Not that we'll get everything perfect, not that we'll be able to walk in his ways perfectly, but that we're constantly orientating ourselves around Jesus and his way and willing to give up the ways that we might prefer. Because when we say yes to Jesus and become a part of his family, we become new people. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, "This means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone, and a new life has begun." And it's this thing in baptism, as we go down, we're symbolizing, yes, we will die to our old life and be raised up in the life of Jesus. But why do we do this? And for us specifically, why do we do full immersion? Because there's other faith traditions that do a sprinkling, but we do full, unless, you know, there's some health concerns, we do full down and full up. Well, why? Well, first of all, we're following in Jesus' example. In Mark, the first chapter, starting in verse 9, says, "One day Jesus came from Nazareth in Galilee, and John baptized him in the river Jordan. As Jesus came up out of the water, he saw the heavens splitting apart and the Holy Spirit descending on him like a dove. And a voice from heaven said, 'You are my dearly loved son, and you bring me great joy.'" So Jesus was baptized by John the Baptist. But not only that, Jesus actually commands us to baptize in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So write it, some of you, if you have your Bibles, it might be on the same page. At the very end of the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 28, Jesus has died, rose again, appeared to a bunch of different people. And this, in Matthew, this is what Jesus says. "Jesus came to his disciples and told his disciples, 'I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I've given you. And be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. So we see that Jesus himself was baptized. He gives his disciples and the rest of us the great commandment, great commission. Not the commandment, great commission. And then there's another thing that we see throughout the epistle. So there's the New Testament and there's what are called the Gospels. And that's the story telling of Jesus' time on earth. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. Then there's Acts that tells of the formation of the early church. And then we go into things called the letters. And so it's different apostles sending letters to churches, explaining things, encouraging them, sometimes saying, whoa, you guys are way off track. But we see throughout different letters that the Apostle Paul references baptism as something significant. And it's this, yes, baptism is a public declaration, but it is a significant spiritual event where the Holy Spirit works out the mystery of joining you to Christ. It's not just a public declaration. There's something deeply spiritual about it. In Colossians 2:12, it says, "For you were buried with Christ when you were baptized, and with him you were raised to new life because you trusted in the mighty power of God who raised Christ from the dead." And he goes on and talks about how we are no longer slaves to our sin, but God has made us alive with Christ, that we have new life. And like I said before, well, when does this happen? When can this happen? As soon as you decide to receive Jesus into your life, you can and should be baptized. Sometimes people have a process or something that they like people to go through, but we see really early on in the church, early church in Acts 8, that baptism happened like immediately. There's this story of Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch in Acts 8. And the Holy Spirit leads Philip to just kind of go on this road where there is a man there. And he hears the man reading from Isaiah, which is a part of the Old Testament. And Philip asks him, "Do you understand what you're reading?" The man replied, "How can I unless someone instructs me?" And so he urged Philip to come up in the carriage and sit with him. And so they read a passage from Isaiah, and the eunuch asks, "Who is this passage talking about?" And it says, starting in verse 35, "So beginning with the same scripture, Philip told him the good news about Jesus. As they rode along, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, 'Look, there's some water. Why can't I be baptized?' He ordered the carriage to stop. They went down into the water, and Philip baptized them." And then there's this wild part that just says, "When they came out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord snatched Philip away. The eunuch never saw him again, but went on his way rejoicing." Right? Every now and then, there's these passages that, if we really stop and think about it, is like wild, but also such a beautiful picture of how the Holy Spirit led Philip to the road to have that one encounter with an Ethiopian eunuch who was on his way back to, I think on his way back to, he was returning from Jerusalem and he was going back to his home country. The Holy Spirit led Philip for that exact moment to speak and encounter him at those exact times, Tell them the good news about Jesus. Baptize them. And then the Spirit took him away. He was done. He did what Jesus wanted him to do. And that right there, for those of us who follow Jesus, that story brings me great comfort. That so much about following in the way of Jesus is just showing up with his love and seeing different opportunities and stepping into those opportunities and then trusting when our part's done and trust that the Holy Spirit will continue working. That's just a little side note. We'll go draw back to the baptism. So we see in this story that there's no level you need to achieve to like somehow cross a finish line so now you're worthy to be baptized. It's not about good enough or levels or finish lines, but what it is a step in the deepening relationship between you and Jesus that we live out one day, one step at a time. And so that's kind of as someone's getting baptized, that's what's going on. But what about the rest of us? Is there anything important about doing it in front of witnesses? Or could we just kind of do it privately, secret, alone? There's a significance in doing it in front of people. For those of us that are going to be able to witness, it's not just a passive thing, a nice little thing to watch. But as we sit and watch, we are agreeing and celebrating with what Jesus has done, and there's a level that we are committing to support. We are saying that as we sit here and witness, that who is being baptized is a part of our body, and we will encourage and support them. Because here's the thing, when we look at that passage at the end of Matthew where it says, baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, a better translation is baptizing them into the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And so what it is, it's actually another step in of baptizing them into the family of God. Don't hear me say that they're not a part until they're baptized. That's not what I'm saying. But what I am saying, baptism, just like the rest of our walk, is not done in isolation. And we, as those who are part of the family of God, we get to say, yes, welcome. We are here, we are for, we will support. And that's why not all churches do this, but what we have is we have encouragers that take a moment and just share encouragement, whatever form that is, with the person being baptized. They are speaking on behalf of the body for support and encouragement. Okay, there is no, that, okay, five, that clock back there has like glare on it, so you can't really see what time it is. Okay, so baptism, kids are gonna be coming up here pretty shortly, I think. So baptism is just one aspect of acknowledging Jesus is Lord. It's just one aspect in choosing to live the way he offers and invites us into. And just for those that have already said they want Jesus a part of their life, who have orientated around him, sometimes it's really easy to say, Jesus is Lord of my life, and stop there. Sometimes, to take a moment and look at the specific areas of your life, whether that part is under the lordship of Jesus or not, is a lot harder to do. And yet so much more transforming. Because to be able to say Jesus is Lord of my life means we are increasingly giving authority to him in different areas. We're increasingly surrendering to his love, grace, compassion, and allowing him to shape us into the person he created us to be, to do the things that he invites us to do, to become more and more like him. And so I'm just going to finish off here with a moment of reflection. There's going to be a Lordship prayer up here. And all I want you to do is just take a moment and reflect. Read through those things. There might be one where you're like, oh no, not that one, Jesus. Right? For some of you, maybe right at the very beginning, I invite you to be Lord of my whole life. Maybe that's where you're at, where you're like, I don't think I've ever actually invited Jesus to be part of anything. I don't think I've ever acknowledged that I believe he died on the cross and rose again and made a way for me to be saved, healed, and delivered, to experience wholeness. So I just invite you to take a few seconds and read over this. And if there is any portion that feels hard, just acknowledge that to Jesus and say, help me to walk in a new way. Thank you, Jesus. The kids are here waiting so quietly and patiently. So I will invite the kiddos back. And I'll invite the worship team to come back up. So what we're going to do is we're going to have one last closing song, and then we're going to have move into three baptisms. But let's just pray quickly. Jesus, thank you that on your death and in your resurrection, that you made a way for us to be reconciled to God. And not only that, you made a way for us to be welcomed into a family. Would you, Holy Spirit, would you help us be open and surrendered to your love and your transforming power, that we may little by little, step by step, be transformed to be more and more like you, that we can say wholeheartedly that Jesus is Lord of my life and I am all in. Thank you, Jesus. In your name, amen.
If you want to stand with me,
just wanna speak the name of Jesus over every heart and every mind, 'cause I know there is peace within your presence. I speak Jesus. Oh, I just wanna starts to break, declaring there is hope and there is freedom. I speak Jesus, 'cause your name is power, your name is healing, your name is life. Every stronghold, shine through the shadows, burn like a fire. Oh, I just want to speak the name of Jesus over fear and all anxiety. To every soul held captive by depression, I speak Jesus, 'cause your name is power, your name is healing, your name is life. Break every stronghold, shine through the shadows, burn light. Jesus from the mountains, and Jesus in the streets, and Jesus in the darkness over every enemy, and Jesus for my family, I speak the holy name, Jesus. Shout Jesus from the mountains, Jesus in the streets, Jesus in the darkness over every enemy. Shout Jesus for my family, I speak the holy name, Jesus. Shout Jesus from the mountains, and Jesus in the streets, Jesus in the darkness over every enemy. Jesus for my family, I speak the holy name, Jesus. 'Cause your name is power, your name is healing, your name is life. Every stronghold, shine through the shadows, burn like a fire. Oh, I just want to speak the name of Jesus over every heart and every mind, 'cause I know there is peace within your presence. I speak Jesus. Let's do that again. Oh, I just want to speak the name of Jesus over every heart and every mind, 'cause I know there is peace within your presence. I speak Jesus. Sing it like a prayer. I know we all see the darkness out there. Let's sing this like a prayer. Oh, I just want to speak the name of Jesus over every heart and every mind, 'cause I know there is peace within your presence. I speak Jesus.
my first time filling up the tank, and I did have a moment of forgetting about it, but that's why the pipe is there.
When I was 18, a friend of mine died. Her name was Cassie. She was one of few people I knew who had grown up in a Christian home, and also the first person I knew who died. I was distraught, and I blamed her faith, so I told myself, if I don't believe in God, I won't die. Don't believe, and you will be safe. I ignored him calling me for a long time. I gave away credit to his work. When I rolled my car going 110 kilometers an hour on a gravel road and walked away, that was a guardian angel, not his hands catching me. When I could feel the weight of evil around me at night in one of many farmhouses we rented, I would ask Archangel Michael to protect me. But when my mom was diagnosed with breast cancer, I was 2 months shy of turning 24, and suddenly I felt like a six-year-old grasping for her mom after a bad dream. I need my mom. It was raining, and I was walking my baby in the stroller, and I asked him to please let her be there for my daughter's wedding. I'm not ready. I need her still. My daughter's far from getting married. She's only 7, but my mom is still here. One of my favorite verses from the Bible is, "And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will protect your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." He had no reason to answer my prayer, but it surpasses all understanding. Even after he saved my mom, I went back to the same old lie. Don't believe and you'll be safe. I lived in that until last summer. I kept feeling like I was in a cocoon. I could feel myself changing. I couldn't put a finger on what it was or where it was going. And then we were invited to a wedding in Ontario. And I felt really angry that I had to leave and go visit everyone when I felt so vulnerable. So I built up my ego and my pride. Not 24 hours into the trip, and I broke and dislocated my pinky toe on a vent on the wall. it was pointing that way. My first thought was, I don't know why God wanted to slow me down, but he did. And at that same time, a family that we had grown very close to was moving, and I kept seeing his hands going between us and pulling us apart. And even though it hurt so much, him tearing us apart, I knew I couldn't help but feel like there was something more to it that I just couldn't see, that he could see, and just, it was for the better. And slowly, I began to see him everywhere. Things that I had struggled with for a long time became easier. I couldn't explain what changed. I just knew that Jesus did it. The podcasts I listened to were all of a sudden about the Bible and fault lines on Mount of Olives, and I wanted to know more about Jesus. So I bought a Bible, the first one I had ever put my hands on, and I couldn't wait to get home and just read. Slowly, I began to pray and heal. Jesus has brought to my attention the unforgiveness and resentment I had in my heart, and he has been pulling them out like weeds from the roots. Then on March 22nd of this year, Jesus delivered me from evil in a dream, and the first thing he said to me was, "You're ready now, go get baptized." Funny enough, this week I felt as though I was in a cocoon again, but instead of building a wall and feeling fearful for what I might turn into, I felt such peace and excitement knowing that it was Jesus working on my heart, always healing, bringing clarity, and always pouring his love over us.
Awesome. And now Brianna is going to come up and share some words of encouragement for Dallas.
Dallas, there we go. Your name means from the meadow dwelling. And when I think of a meadow, it's the grassy knoll, and it's beautiful, and there's trees surrounding, and animals coming in and out all the time. But I think that that is such a perfect description of who you are. Calm, sometimes, but bursting with life. Joy-filled and a ray of sunshine. With a little touch of chaos as life bursts forth. You have an infectious smile, and your yearning for the word is absolutely refreshing. Your go forth and dive deep spirit is so encouraging to see from my point of view as someone who was raised in the church. That true fire that has been ignited for the Lord. As you go forth from today, I urge you, be like Deborah, not afraid to step into the role God called her into. Using wisdom, Deborah guided the Israelites through life and battle. Be like Ruth. Loyal to her calling to love, hardworking and humble, she placed her trust in the Lord. Be like Esther, bravery in spite of fear, doing right even though it could have cost her everything. Be like Miriam, she was courageous as a protector. She also wasn't afraid to speak on behalf of God. Be like Hannah, a devout woman who persevered through prayer. She grew a deep faith and trust in God. She was obedient. Be like Abigail. She humbly and respectfully advocated for peace with David. And finally, but there are so many more women in the Bible to look up to and that God used. Be like Priscilla. She practiced hospitality by hosting Paul, and Priscilla also wasn't afraid to share her faith and knowledge. So as you take this next step in your faith, this outward declaration, I just want you to keep asking your questions, to keep seeking understanding, and to be a woman after God's own heart. God gave me the verse of Joshua chapter 1, verse 8 to 9 for you. Keep this book of law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go.
So do you believe that Jesus died for you and rose from the dead?
Yes.
Have you repented of your sins and received him today by faith as your Lord and Savior?
Yes.
Will you receive afresh today the filling of the Holy Spirit to give you the ability to follow Jesus all the days of your life? Upon confession of your faith in Jesus, I baptize you into the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Okay, I will invite Kate up. So this is Kate. Why do you want to be baptized?
Can I catch this?
When I was 7 or 6, I told my mom I wanted Jesus in my heart. Me and my mom said a prayer. I said, "Forgive me for my sins and help me to do right." Ever since then, I've been trying not to fight with my sisters and listen to God. It's not always easy, but I know that God will help me get through it. I want to get baptized because I think God is leading me that way, and I think that God can help me go on to the future. I think it shows other people that I am following Jesus' path, and I trust him all the ways I can. That's why I want to get baptized.
Okay, we have a couple of encouragers.
Catherine Heather June Visser. What an honor to be my granddaughter's encourager. Kate, I have watched you grow up with each passing year, witnessed your growth in our Lord, prayed for your future, that your future continues to strengthen you through the love of Jesus Christ. May the Holy Spirit who lives in you continue to guide and keep you. Keep smiling, my granddaughter. Let the Lord's love shine through. The passage I'm reading is Acts 2:38, and I am reading it from your great-great-great-grandmother's Bible from 1934. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. God bless you, darling.
Hey, baby cakes. How's the water? Is it warm enough? Yeah? Okay, good. Just making sure Pastor Amy's looking after you. From the moment I met you, with your big, bright blue eyes and your crazy blonde hair and that sass oozing from every pore of your body, I loved you. And I'm so proud of all that you've done and who you are. I knew from that very first day that God had big, big plans for you. And he continues to show us those future plans. I asked God last night what I should say, and I just kept getting a story. A story came to mind. And this story is in the Bible, and it's of a young woman who became a queen. And there was a point in which things became very tense for her, and she was scared, and she was nervous, and she was terrified, and maybe thought she might die. And her cousin, God spoke to her through her cousin, who said, perhaps you were made queen for such a time as this. And that story is found in Esther 4. Now, I'm not saying that I think God's going to make you a queen, although I wouldn't put it past him because he does some pretty amazing things. But I do feel that God wants to remind you that when times are tough, when you're worried or scared, and something seems impossible, he wants you to remember that, Kate, perhaps you were made for such a time as this. So as you take this step and be baptized and further your faith, I just bless you with knowing that God is always with you. He's got huge plans, and we love you so much.
So, do you believe that Jesus died for you and rose from the dead? Have you repented of your sins and received him today by faith as your Savior and Lord? Will you receive afresh today the filling of the Holy Spirit to give you the ability to follow Jesus all the days of your life? Upon confession of your faith in Jesus, I baptize you into the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Okay, I now invite Michael and Derek to come on up.
I got it. Can you hear me? Yeah, you can. Aw, why, thank you. So some of you might know parts of my story. Some of you know none of my story. and a few of you know all of it. I won't get into the details, but the road was long, with many a winding turn. Now, I was not one of the 99, but I was the one that he had to go searching for. There came a time in my life where everything and everyone that I loved was gone. The people that I relied on the most told me that I was in a place of hopelessness that I would never come back from. So from that place, I went in search of hope, and I went seeking God. Now I hear people say that miracles don't happen anymore. Well, the fact that I'm standing here today, a man saved and redeemed, is proof that miracles happen. They're happening all around us every day. But God didn't just save me. He showed me that I had value. He showed me that he didn't make a mistake in how he created me. He showed me that my core identity had purpose in service to him. He showed me that my suffering could become power that would bring light to the dark, that my fighting spirit could be used to spread faith, hope, and love, and that the greatest of these was love. I've learned a lot on my journey, and I continue to learn. I've learned that the Lord is my shepherd, that I shall not be in want, that he makes me lay down in green pastures, that he guides me to still waters. He restores my soul, and he guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And even though I walk through the valley in the shadow of darkness, that I will fear no evil, for he is with me. His rod and his staff, they comfort me. He prepares a table before me in the presence of my enemies. He anoints my head with oil. My cup overflows. I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I had to write it down because I knew I was going to mess it up. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So close. I had it so close. Now, I had the Catholic baby baptism, and I thought that was good enough. And I told people that was going to suffice. But the more that I learned the word, the more I understand, and I got to learn that the declaration is important, that this isn't just something I kind of get and then it's over and done with, that what I'm doing here is in service and in following that word. And because I still have some Catholic in me, and we love our confessions, I have to confess that I also have an ulterior motive. Because in my calling that I found, God's been gracious enough to grant me things that I like in my service. So two of my favorite things he's incorporated in my calling, and that's fishing and fighting. And so I get to spend the rest of my days in service for him, fishing and fighting. And so I also wanted a baptism because I think I've got some hard times ahead of me, and I've got a wrestling match coming up with the devil. And I can use every edge I can honestly get.
My name is Carrie. This is my husband, Derek. He asked me yesterday to do this, so I didn't know. I'm praying to God to give me something, but he's done it before, right?
Now we
Okay. Thank you. Derek, I'm thinking again of our wedding vows. I'm in the boat with you, buddy. Thank you for doing this. Together we will declare Christ. I see your heart and the way that you pursued truth and the way that you have pursued God. And it is such a beautiful thing. Don't lose that. It inspires me. And I just ask God to bless you in this and bless you in this decision of declaring him your Lord and Savior. Love you.
Okay, Derek didn't ask me to speak of encouragement, but just the Spirit's been putting on my heart as I was praying for him this morning and as he spoke now. He said he was one of the 99, right? Jesus searched for him. In the time I've known Derek, walked with him, prayed with him, I've rarely met a man so seeking Jesus in return. Derek has taken Jesus as a cornerstone, and I got this vision of a brick wall. And most of us think Jesus is coming in and we're just smashing that wall down and starting again. But Derek has taken rock by rock to see what darkness crawls out from under it. And he's prayed over it and he's walked with Jesus. And he set it aside and he picked up the next one. I've seen some of the battles you've fought. And like you said, you're a warrior for Jesus. I speak that into your life. You are a warrior for Jesus. I know the strength. I know that you're ready to strap the armor on. So Jesus will not leave you. So yeah, I'm just so blessed to be here and walk with you. Okay? All right. Do you believe that Jesus died for you and rose from the dead?
Yes.
Have you repented of your sins and received him today by faith as your Savior and Lord?
Yes, I have.
And will you receive afresh today the filling of the Holy Spirit to give you the ability to follow Jesus all of the days of your life?
Yes, I will.
Okay. Upon your confession of faith in Jesus, I baptize you in the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Yeah. Yeah.
Good job, Mike.
Good job to you. A little bit emotional there. I lost track. I'm supposed to dismiss you guys. So if you guys will, I'll do a quick prayer for you. And you don't just have to sit there and watch us dry off. So, dear Lord, we praise you. We praise you for seeking each one of us. We praise you, though we're in the darkness and maybe denying you, you haven't left us. You're going to give us miracles. You're going to call us. You're going to seek us. So, Lord, I just call upon you to cast your peace upon everybody's week as they go forward, to work in their hearts so they're just yearning for you, and they're going to open that Bible just to read that passage, even if it's only one, because you can speak through all of that. And Lord, we just ask miraculous and powerful testimonies through this week. We praise you and love you. In the name of the Son, Lord Jesus, amen.
Thank you for listening to our podcast today. If you would like more information about us or find out ways to contact us, visit our website at www.beaverlodgealliancechurch.com. We pray today that you would experience the love, presence, and power of Jesus Christ, and then make him known.